So we have a special guest with us today. It's good to have Nicodemus present among us. And it's good to be Nicodemus present among you. And thank you for having me. Often I am called when I gather with a church. I'm called Nick at Night because I came to see Jesus in the dark at night. So, why would I come at night? Well, I was a member of the Sanhedrin. I was a member of the Jewish council. I was a Pharisee. And I didn't want to ruin my reputation, so I headed forth to see this man who had been teaching, who had been healing. He was, in so many ways, an outstanding person. I had to go see him. And as one who adhered to the steps of Abram, who became Abraham, the father of the deep Jewish faith tradition, I had to be careful in my inquiry of the prospective Messiah. As a Pharisee, I dared not to be seen upon visiting him. Oh, my Sanhedrin brothers, they would have scorned me. They could have ruled me out of the temple as a Sanhedrin. Therefore, I ventured in the dark. And I sought out the rabbi. Whether I was using the term in a mocking or true fashion regarding this Jesus of Galilee, I'm uncertain. He had given us so many signs to indicate that he was a special gift from God. I thought I would be initiating a good conversation with him. Rabbi, I said, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. His answer gave me not a sign that I could grasp. It caused me to react with a little bit of doubt and confusion. He answered me, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. What could it mean to be born from above or to be born again? I had to ask. Now, was I making fun and satirizing the rabbi? Because physically, it made no common sense. Oh, as Nick at Night, I asked, how can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into their mother's womb and be born? It was soon to become clear. The rabbi and I were on a different plane. We had a different way of thinking. My quest was to discover if he was a legitimate prophet, as I had thought he was. Was he another zealot seeking to lead yet another Jewish revolution? We had had so many of those kinds of prophets in the past 100 years that brought so much destruction to our lives. Could he be not the zeal, but the real Messiah that we have so longed for? His teachings were taking our Jewish faith to a different level that we Pharisees had never gone. and the way we were, could we go there? The rabbi answered my question. Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above, he said. As he was talking, my mind turned to John the Baptist. John the Baptizer's comment, when we Pharisees ventured to Bethany, when John came out of the Jordan, and we asked, why then are you baptizing? If you are neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet. But John answered, I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal. Then the rabbi continued with his response to me. The wind blows where it blows, where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from. And where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. I was so glad it was night, and my Pharisee brothers were not among us. I had to ask another responsive question. My mind itself was filled with the wind stirring within. I asked, how can these things be? To which the rabbi's answer went straight to my heart, filled purpose in living. The rabbi answered, beginning with this question. Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? I thought, oh, I'm a Pharisee. Of course I understand. In fact, I stand under them. They are my foundation. At various times, we were a political party, a social movement, and a school of thought during this Second Temple time. Like the other 6,000 Pharisees, I have lived the strict observance of the traditional and written law and my commonly held pretensions to be superior. To superior sanctity sprang forth within my mind. Yes. I have memorized much of the Hebrew scripture and carried forth the oral traditions. The rabbi continued, very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen. You do not receive our testimony, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe when I tell you about heavenly things? Heavenly things, heavenly things. Heavenly things. I began to listen to the rabbi again. His words were starting to make sense. If I had ridiculed him, I was feeling apologetic. I became silent as he continued to speak out from the ancient paths of Moses. No one has ascended into heaven, he said, except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. As Nick at night, I thought, he spoke as if he knew and had a profound message regarding the future, not only for my Jewish brothers and sisters here on earth, but regarding heaven, I began to realize that he was one who descended from heaven to earth. He agreed with our Pharisaic belief that there is a resurrection of the dead. For the holy rabbi, it came from belief in him as the giver of eternal life. What a gift. His words were, and he was effectively linking heaven as a model for earthly living. Whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Whoever believes in him may have eternal life, I thought. My heart awakened. I wanted to sit at his feet as a disciple. But yet he had not completed his teaching to me. What light is brought upon the dark night? The stars seem to shine with a renewed brightness. He proclaimed to me, Nicodemus as a Pharisee, his message of God's sacred love of the world and the gift of eternal life. Living now as though I were with God in heaven. And this is what he declared. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And I had asked him so many protectionist questions. How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter the second time his mother's womb and be born? And how can these things be? Now I say, thank you, Rabbi, you Holy One, for being open unto me and accepting my lack of knowledge, love, and trust. I now believe that God sent you into the world, not to condemn our life, but that the world would be saved through you. As Nick at night, I pause and take us to chapter 2. I wish my memories and love of the rabbi could have remained at that point. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. But the story of the rabbi continued. As for me, yes, I remained a Pharisee. It was a good thing when given the opportunity, I had the responsibility to share his good news with them. It was a challenge. I was in the temple of the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths. It was a great annual festival in September. Jews came from across the lands to create their own booths filled with fruit and good food, and they were covered with palms and other tree limbs. It filled with wonderful foods, but Jerusalem's population grew to 1 million during that week. After the rabbi's brothers had gone to the festival, then he also came. The rabbi, not publicly, but he came in secret. Many of the Jewish comrades were looking for him at the festival and saying, "Where is he?" And there was a considerable complaining about him among the crowds. While some were saying, "He is a good man," others were saying, "No, he is deceiving the crowd." Yet no one would speak openly about him because of fear of the Jews who did believe in him. About the middle of the festival, the rabbi went up to the temple and began to teach. He was no longer hiding. The Jews were astonished at his saying, How does this man have such a learning when he has never been taught? Then he answered them, my teaching is not of mine, but of his who sent me. Anyone who resolves to the will of God will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own, he said. Those who speak on their own seek their own glory, but the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and there is nothing false. As the festival continued, there was a division among the people. Some of the crowd, hearing his words, this is really the prophet. Others said, this is the Messiah. But some asked continuously, surely the Messiah does not come from Galilee, does he? Has not the scripture said that the Messiah is descended from David and comes from Bethlehem, the village where David lived? I wondered. He was born in Bethlehem. Is that good enough? So there was a division in the crowd because of him. Some were then wanted to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him. The unbelief of those in authority worried me. The temple police entered, went back to the chief priests and to my comrades and to the Pharisees, who asked them, why do you not arrest him? The police answered, never has anyone spoken like this. Wow, the police were listening and understanding him. Then the Pharisees replied, surely you have not been deceived, have you? The police been deceived? Has any one of the authorities or of the Pharisees believed in him? They looked at me. They looked at me. As I had the privilege to ask the rabbi my questions sometime before I entered into the conversation, and I asked, our law does not judge people without first having them hearing to find out what they are doing, does it? They replied, surely you are not also from Galilee, are you? Search, and you will see that no prophet is to arise from Galilee. Why was this location so important, I wonder? The simple question without seeking their faith demonstrated that the Pharisees lacked vision and hope of the one who came from our God, that so loved the world and gave his only son. Almighty God, once again, I am so thankful that you gave me the privilege to discover, to learn from the belief of our Savior. I have such difficulty understanding why people on earth are so set in their ways of self-protection of the way that we are and were. My only question now is, why did he have to be crucified? As Nick at night, I say, thank you, my God, that when he was crucified, that I was the one who could join the disciple, Joseph of Arimathea, in caring for the rabbi's body. It was once again that I came by night. I brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes. They weighed about 100 pounds. According to custom, we took the body and wrapped it in spices, in linen cloths. Then took it to the garden, near where he was crucified, and laid his precious body in the tomb. Oh, Nick at night, in my afterlife now, I speak to you from heaven. I have learned that the church has declared me to be a saint. Oh, I declare that all of you are the saints. With our Lord that I still like to refer to as Rabbi. I so love to recall his words. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a person be born again, that person cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen.